When Bethel Music founder Brian Johnson fell into a deep depression, he never imagined that he and his wife would compose inspiring music as a result. I'm Kendra Semin. Listen to learn how music has become therapeutic for Johnson and his wife as they learn to overcome the darkness in life with praise and worship.
Charisma Magazine has been covering the charismatic and Pentecostal movement for more than 40 years. Now you can not only read Charisma in print or online, but you can also listen to this great magazine. I'm Dr. Hakeem Collins, and I downloaded the Charisma Media Audio app to listen in the spirit. Download the Charisma Media Audio app today and make sure that you sign up for your free 10-day trial at charismamediaaudio.com. That's charismamediaaudio.com.
Welcome back. Today I'm here with Brian Johnson, an author, worship pastor, and founder of Bethel Music. Brian, we're so excited to have you on today's episode.
It's great to be on your episode.
Thanks. So can you just start off by sharing a little bit about yourself with our listeners?
Just for some background, I'm a sixth generation pastor in the ministry. My dad's focus, I remember as a kid, you know, growing up, was worship. You know, he started teaching about worship traveling, and then of course he became known for his books and the whole Bethel movement. But so I grew up knowing about God and worship and in church all the time, and I became a worship leader in high school. And I talk a lot about it in the book, but through a series of different things that have had happened. And then so when I was 17, I led worship once. The first time I led worship, and someone gave me this word after I led about that's maybe being something that I'm called to type of thing. And so then I just gave myself to it, and I took over the youth worship teams and then moved to Reading, and then kind of things turned into years and years later, you know, we decided to start a label. This was 11 years ago, and kind of one thing led to the next, and we're here today, and we have the Bethel Music label. But really, it all kind of started because of a season as a kid. I was really tormented. And so I learned about like the power of praise and that whole thing. And I didn't start leading worship because this was back in the day when leading worship wasn't like cool yet, really.
Oh, okay.
You know, not that it's wrong to want to lead worship, you know, to be cool.
Yeah.
But it was a totally different era back then. And for me, it was kind of like a lifesaver, really, I think. And we started the label because of what God was doing, and all the writers and artists that were kind of being attracted to the church. And so that's kind of that's my background.
Great. Yeah, for me, music is really a big part of my life. I know whenever I'm feeling anxious, worship music and singing and piano have always helped alleviate a lot of my anxiety. So that's really neat that you're so into that.
Yeah.
And so basically the goal in this podcast series is to raise awareness about mental health, which has long been a taboo topic in many churches. And you specifically dealt with depression and anxiety, which led to you writing your book titled When God Becomes Real. And I know that you were hospitalized back in 2015 for depression. And after that, you dove into prayer, Bible reading, while also being on medication. So can you just talk a little bit about how God showed up in your life during your darkest moments?
Yeah, for me, you know, it's really tricky. I feel like, you know, the brain or, you know, mental health is tricky because the taboo, like you're crazy or you can't be trusted because you're not thinking rationally. And so there's almost like, it's kind of like, but it's like, if you break your arm, you get treatment, you get a cast, and there's time of healing. And our brain is the same way. Our hearts are the same way. Our emotional capacity is really limited. And so I think there was so much going on, that I finally just popped, you know, like I just couldn't kind of handle it. And, you learn a lot about yourself in those moments, and it can be really scary because you start really learning the truth, you know, about yourself. And for me, God, the whole God becoming real was, you know, I know I came to a point in my life where, in those moments where I could really identify with people that were really, at the final stage of their life, in that, you know, a lot of people commit suicide. a lot of people, you know, start taking heavy doses of drugs just to numb themselves because they can't cope with what they're feeling what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And I could really start to identify with that because I was at that point where it was either like, okay, this is God's going to have to do some miraculous thing. And I was looking for direction too. Like, is there something I'm supposed to do? And so I started like doing a deep dive and you know, there's some forgiveness things that I didn't even really realize was there. And then I started reading the Bible every day, getting up really early, 5:15 every morning, and just started reading. Like the repetition of that, God started, you know, and when God speaks to you and you kind of know it, right? It's such a lifesaver because you're like, oh, you have a direction. And I just needed a direction, really. But I was really struggling. I was having panic attacks. I was fighting panic attacks off every 5 minutes. It got so bad. I was literally living on Ativan. Not because it was bad, you know, it was doctor prescribed, but I couldn't, fighting off panic attacks was a real, so there's a part of it where it's like it's an emotional thing. It's a brain that needs to heal, but then part of it's spiritual, you know? So it's really, when you're in that state, it's really tricky. You feel really fragile. And so I was there. God became real in a way that I experienced in moments. You know, the Bible talks about that peace that passes all understanding. Yeah. I experienced those moments in that, in the darkest, hardest, deepest moments of panic. I had experienced some of those moments like that. And so I knew that God was with me. Even though it wasn't 100% gone, it kind of ebbed and flowed. But when I needed him most in those moments, it's like when God broke through. And so I kind of was on like a journey of like trying to figure this thing out and get better. And it ended up being kind of both spiritual and physical. So I went to the doctors and this lady, she's a Christian doc. She's amazing. She's like, she kind of dumbed it down like, Brian, your brain does need time to heal. And then when I started reading a book about it, realizing, oh my gosh, like our brains are really, they can like fracture. They can more or less be hurt and they need time to heal. You know, it's like a lot of people trigger, like even in my life now, you know, I have certain things that come up and it feels like a trigger, you know, it's like, whoa, this is not as big of a deal. But for me right now, this is a huge deal. And why is that? And you start going, oh, because it's reminding me of something that was out of control in the past, even though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I love that you bring up the fact of we have to find the root cause of why am I feeling this way? Is it because of my past? Why is this a trigger for me? And that's something that I've heard recurringly over all of these interviews that I've been doing for this series is that, okay, like it's not a straightforward answer for everyone. It's a little bit different. You may have gone through trauma as a child or abuse, or you may not have. You may have gone through bullying. You may have, you know, gone through a miscarriage or something like that. So for everyone, it's a little bit different what causes you to kind of spiral into that. And it could be chemical imbalance. It could be so many things.
Right.
So yeah, that's a good point.
Just to touch on, and so one of the problems though is I've seen, and even in my own life, I've really had to watch is because it's so popular now. Not in a bad way. It's become we've recognized it. Well, this is it's an epidemic, you know. When I wrote the book and it came out, like I mean, people, honestly, I've never had this much response from the written lots of songs, you know, and songs that have gone around the world. But as far as people coming out of the woodwork saying, man, I really identify with this. This book, this season was opened up a lot of people to come to me and talk to me about it. But one of the things I'm seeing is tricky is like, we can throw that stigma, like I have anxiety or depression when and think it's just, okay, this is just a physical thing. But some people really, it's stuff that they don't, you know, we have a responsibility to deal with things, you know, or remove ourselves. In my case, remove myself from certain situations that were like necessarily above my pay grade or I couldn't handle them. So we put ourselves in these positions in life where we're literally like David, you know, he's supposed to be out to war and instead he's home looking over his balcony and he gets caught, right? I think a lot of people like they're not following the will of God for their life. And it's just because they're not positionally in the right place. And so they keep hitting this wall. It's because they don't have a grace for that type of a warfare type of situation. So I think that there's more to it than I just have anxiety and depression. I think that should necessarily inspire us or motivate us to figure out why am I triggering? Why do I have this? And my season really was that. Why? What's going on? You know?
Yeah, really good points. So I kind of want to get into that a little bit more in that. How did godly community play a role in your life during those times? Because I know your wife, Jen, played a big role in just encouraging you throughout the experience.
Yeah, that's a great question. This is where I think a lot of people go wrong is godly community can be just a bunch of people that don't understand telling you you need to have faith, which, hey, I'm all about faith. I'm all about I'm all about that. But for me, finding people that had either experienced what I'd experienced or I've got this counselor lady that she is amazing, right? She's like, she makes you feel powerful. She doesn't undermine you. She doesn't act like she knows everything, but she seeks to understand. And if you can find people, Christian people that can seek to understand without enabling you in the things that you don't need to be enabled in, but people that can actually just be, you know, a lot of times finding people like I've got a couple best friends, and the reason why they're my best friend is when I'm going through stuff, they don't try to give me all the answers. They don't try to tell me what would work. They're just there. And a lot of times when people are going through stuff like this, they just need people more or less to be there and just to pray for them. And my wife was really good at that because, irrational fear, irrational thought, there's nothing that can bring peace and resolve to irrational thought. Other than feeling like you're understood or someone's just there for you. Do you know what I'm saying by that? So, I think community is everything. It was everything for me, but what I really found to help was when I had my friends that were just there for me. Right.
Yeah. That I know in my life has made a huge difference too, because I've had the reverse effect of Christians even just giving me bad responses when I tell them something I'm struggling with, and then it gets worse and I get more anxious. And then I've had other people give me really good just responses of, hey, like that must have been really hard and I don't know what that's like, but I'm just going to be here for you and I understand. You know, I like that you point out that there's a difference in the way that we respond. We have to be so careful with what we say because words are so powerful and they can really hurt somebody if we don't really take time to think about how that person can interpret it and just what they need. And everyone needs something a little bit different. So you really got to, I think, take the time to get to know what that person needs and be there for them. And I also wanted to say, I love the song that Jen wrote. It's called You're Gonna Be Okay. I used to listen to that a lot kind of during periods of anxiety in my life. And I didn't know the powerful story behind it where she kind of wrote that right, like during some of those hard times with what you were going through.
Yeah, it's great. Like she wrote that during that season of my kind of. I mean, we had a few of those type of songs either on the tail end of that season or right in the middle of that season. And Jen is so, she writes out of like experience. So she'll go through something or feel like God is saying something, and then she writes like, God, I look to you. Every song she's written has been that type of a process. And you know what's amazing though about that process is like, you know, the testimonies like has that spirit of prophecy on it. So it's amazing the amount of people that have said, hey, specifically with some of the songs that she's written, boy, this song really got me through a time and the situation was this. And Jen's like, yeah, that's the exact situation I was feeling, you know? So it's funny how that, and relating to anxiety and the overwhelming thing, a lot of people have said that song has really helped them, which is interesting because that's the season we were in, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing how God does that. Like he knew that was going to help so many other people feeling the same way. And that's the beautiful thing about being outspoken about what we feel, because we realize we're not alone. There are so many other people who are going through the same type of feelings. And I kind of wanted to get into a little bit your church experience, because like I said, mental health is not always something that the church is really welcoming a conversation about. So I just wanted to kind of go into what ways does your church make an effort to help their congregation with mental health?
You know, I think like, talking about it, you know, talking about it from the stage, from the pulpit, like I talked about it, it never, ever goes away completely, which I don't think that's true. I think it can, and I think it does, but it doesn't mean that certain things that trigger you and remind you of that season, you know what I'm saying? But on the tail end of my major, major breakdown, that season, I got up and spoke about it. And then a couple of the other pastors were speaking into it that had dealt with it as well. And just by just by speaking about it and giving hope to it, like my story is a story of hope. And so I think telling the whole story, I think a lot of times leaders, you know, they're, because the church will persecute you, you know, I tell the whole story, the good and the bad, and then the hope in the end. It's kind of like how David wrote the Psalms, you know, it's like the roller coaster ride. But what's amazing is he always ended with like the good, like, but God, you have been faithful, you know. And so my story is a story of hope, but I told the whole story. And I think leaders telling the whole story, it's why we like reality TV, because we can identify with these real people behind the camera. It's just not it's not like a stage thing where it just shows all the good and the fake. It actually shows like, oh wow, that person went through this and I can identify with that. But the strength of that, identifying with it, is there's an answer. And so I just think talking about it, and I mean, I was the number one downloaded or watched message for the entire year that came out of Bethel is when I get up and talk about anxiety. Isn't that interesting? Wow. So that showed us that like there's a need, you know.
That's great. I love that you guys are so open about that from the pulpit. I think that more pastors and leaders need to be, because that allows the congregation to feel safe, I think, about talking about anything that they're going through, that they're not going to be turned down and just told, oh, I need to just pray my feelings away. You know, it's not that easy. And so when pastors are transparent and vulnerable about what they're dealing with, as an example and as a model, that I think is so, so crucial. So as far as rest and just self-care, I know those are really important things to incorporate into our daily routines. How do you do that to maintain your own emotional health?
You know, I think for me, rest, it's not necessarily laying down on the couch and checking out, even though I think that's important. Mm-hmm. For me, rest is literally switching my brain off from what I do for work, and then turning it on. Like for me, I love hunting. I love all that kind of thing, you know? So for me, if I can disconnect from this world and turn this world on, I notice that when I go back to for me, work is the music and the writing and that and the label and all that stuff. When I go back to that after having my mind turned on to hunting, my perspective is a little clearer. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm seeing things a little clearer from a, that's why I think it's important to have friends that aren't all in what you do. They're in a totally different world. Like I've got friends, a lot of friends now that I just hang out with. I got some friends in the gas and oil business, which is totally different than the music business. Right. But when I connect with them and hang out with them, I have a different perspective on what I do. And I think that, like, your hobby and your work should be different. So for me, music obviously started out as a hobby, right? But then it became work. And then so I switched hobbies. And I think that that's really important. My dad, growing up, he always had Mondays off, and he always would give himself to, like, hunting, fishing, some sort of hobby. And so by doing that, I think it's rest. It's restful for your mind. And does that make sense? It's not just like taking a nap.
I think that's a really good point. I've never heard it said like that before, where your hobby and your job should be different. But that makes perfect sense, because if your hobby is kind of, you know, too related to what you do for work, you almost inevitably start thinking about work and not taking a break from that when you need to.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, here's what's tricky too, and I was thinking this because I think it'll help people. So my wife and I, Jen, we've been married for, you know, like 20 years now, doing the same thing. So our work life and home life is identical. Now that's really tricky, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's no disconnect, and we've really had to work on figuring out how in the world do we have a conversation outside of our entire world, which is music and the ministry, and even, you know, like right now we've been building a house on this property for 7+ years. So how do we have a conversation that's different than the house, the kids, or the work?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's another thing. And so for us, like, so we've kind of like, so our connect together, like, we love food. So like, we like to go out to eat or to go to Napa and do food. And we love design and decoration and just dream doing that, walking in Napa and getting inspired. So we've had to literally figure out what can we connect on that's other than work, because that's all consuming. You know what I mean? And it's really helped. It's really helped a lot.
That's really good. I think it's definitely so important to have those conversations. And I'm so happy to hear that you guys did in your marriage, because it's so easy to burn out. And when we just have this mindset of, oh, I'm going to say yes to everything and I'm never going to say no, and you never set any boundaries in your life, you can easily just overwork yourself. And that's another thing that can lead to anxiety and frustration and all of that. So it's so important to have balance. So that's super good. And before we wrap up, because we're getting close to the end of our time, is there anything else we didn't cover today that you'd just like to encourage our listeners with?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, something that helped me and still to this day helps me is we can get to the point where we feel like giving up a lot, or we feel like we don't have the courage. And then when you start thinking about it, then you start getting more depressed. You know what I mean? Like, but I'll tell you what, for me, something that's really, really has helped me is, like you were touching on earlier, just putting worship music on and not even engaging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like literally not even be like, all right, I'm going to go after God right now. Or I'm going to go after, not even, I'm not talking about that. Taking that first little tiny step, turning worship music on. That's it. Or, you know what? I'm going to just read the Bible, or even better, I'm so discouraged, I don't even want to read my Bible, whatever. Put on the Bible app and just let it read it to you. I am 100% a firm believer that God understands when we're at our lowest and we feel like giving up. We don't even want to go forward. We're done. You know what I mean? And I think that when we take those baby steps in those specific moments, God looks at it and goes, wow, that's faith. And so I would just like to encourage everyone that's in it, whatever season of life. For me, the worship and the word was everything, honestly, everything. And I remember moments where, like, I had just enough, like, strength or whatever, not to be overly dramatic, but I'm being completely honest. I don't want to do anything else, whatever. I feel like giving up, and I just turn worship music on. It kind of takes everything in me just to push play, and I just push play. And through that, I get more faith, you know, and hope, and then maybe I get my Bible out and I just read, you know.
Yeah.
And I look at it this way. When we take one step, God takes, like, a million towards us. You know, you can imagine God like a mile away, and like when we take one step towards him, he takes the rest. And I really think that that's a good picture of grace, and that is literally my story.
Yeah.
And
I
think comparing yourself to, and comparing yourself to other people's steps of faith or whatever, I think that's a trap. We're all on our own journey. We all have our own connect to God. And if you're looking at someone else's walk with God and it's making you feel terrible about yourself, take a step back, take baby steps, and you'll find that like you'll find that grace again, you know? So anyways, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, that's great. And that just reminds me of the Bible verse that says, just be still and know that I am God. And that's all we have to do. We just sit there and recognize who he is, how he loves us, no matter what we've done at our worst moments. There's nothing we can do exactly. That's going to make him love us more or less. And we just can be in his peace and his joy. And that itself is so refreshing and strengthening, and just being in nature, like you said, listening to music. And so I'm glad that you shared that. Yeah. So would you mind just praying our listeners out before we go?
Absolutely. Okay. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, bringing awareness. This is like a topic that I feel like you are pinpointing right now in culture in our day. But I also pray for that grace and that anointing that breaks the strongholds, that breaks those bondages that are holding people from taking that first step, that baby step. And I pray that everyone listening, you would give them that hope that you gave me in those moments that literally – I mean, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for those little ounces of hope. And I pray for that same grace, those moments of grace that you give whoever's listening to this is really going through something. For real in it. And some people feel like they're at the very end. And I pray right now for that. You'd flood their souls with that grace. And then you'd be like the song that God we sing about, God of the breakthrough, that the songs would become real. Amen.
Amen. And so if our listeners would like to find your music, how can they connect with you online?
I have my Instagram's Brian Johnson M as in Mark, the label Bethel Music, BethelMusic.com or at Bethel Music is the Instagram. Those are probably the best places. Apple Music, Spotify, all of that, Bethel Music is all of our music and our artist music.
Great. Well, thank you everyone for joining us, and tune in next time for another episode in our mental health series on the Charisma News podcast.